opening up his word, it just begins to talk to you, speak to you every day. Amen? Every day. Every day you ought to be getting some nugget of help out of this book. If it's not for you, it's for somebody else that he wants you to share with or to be in tuned with. But this is a book that helps us. This is a book that even helps those that are in the world that have no relationship really with that of Christ, if we just would look at it. Have you heard such things that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction? Have you heard, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not onto your own understanding? What about this? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. A soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up anger. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend, or friends. All good sayings, all wonderful things to live by. So what I want to look at today is I want to walk in wisdom. How many here want to walk in wisdom? I'll take your wisdom if you don't want it. I need all I can get. Trust me, my wife will tell you that. And I want to also look at this, to discover your purpose. We want to discover why, Lord. Why did you put me here? What am I to accomplish? What's it all about, Lord? Many people of today come into this life. They're born, grow up, they work, do the worldly material things or what this world is about, and then they die. And they figure that's all what this life was about. Just come in, accumulate, build riches, and die. And guess what? You don't take your riches with you. They stay right here. So I want to draw our focus, and I'm sure you've already thought about this, and it probably already hit your spirit, that it's Proverbs. This is a book of wise sayings that can teach us how to live godly lives. The wisdom that we read in Proverbs is as meaningful for us today as it is when it was written by Solomon.
A proverb is a short, wise, easy-to-remember saying. And I'm glad, because my attention span is short. My memory is short. But a proverb, short, wise, easy to remember. What about wisdom? Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to judge and to act according to God's directives. Is the most valuable of assets. If a man or a woman is not wise, what are they? You know, you'll get led astray. You'll follow the crowd. I mean, even in Proverbs, you know, there's a lot of good sayings where even like those in the world, if they would just follow that, because I think somewhere in Proverbs, doesn't it say to be careful of who you associate with, or, you know, if you hang out with a bad crowd, guess what's going to happen? You're probably going to go down that road of bad crowds and what they do. So it's very simple, very simplistic. And I guess what it is, what God's word is all about, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to follow God's word, because he's made it for all of us. Wisdom is available to one and all. Wisdom originates in God, not self. And it comes by the attention to instruction. I think a lot of it is if we would just pay attention to instruction, we would do very well in life. But I know in growing up, and many times with kids, and in the natural, with how man, and, you know, we look at his life in general, that when we grow up and our parents try to tell us something of wisdom, don't do this, generally our kids are going to say, I'm going to prove them wrong, and I'm going to do it. And guess what happens? They come back a year or two, whatever, later, going, well, Mom or Dad, or Mom and Dad, you were right. And it's only because we've lived the life and we've experienced those particular things of what? Living and what life had to offer. God's word is that same way, but we've got to take God's word and take it for what it is and hold on to it and keep it. And know that God loves us to the point that he has my best interest. Does he have your best interest at heart? I think so. Throughout my thoughts with God and ministry and things that are going on, periodically my thought will go back to Jeremiah when he spoke to me in that, as far as that he has plans for me. He has plans for Tim. And those plans, God's word, and when I was reading this many years back when I was changing out from secular work to coming in to serve God on a full-time basis, it was a thing that I felt God was right there where I was at, speaking to me like we were sitting chair to chair or across the table. And it was like I really personalized it, or I felt my spirit personalized it to say, Tim, I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts to succeed and not to fail. And if you come to me and call out to me, I will hear you. But I have to play that part that I've got to follow and listen to those things that he has for me. And so that was a time that all of a sudden I kind of threw my hands up and I said, I'm yours, God. Have me. I don't understand it. Don't know where it's going to take me. But I'm yours. My God. My God. My God. As with all of God's word, there's an application process. See, a lot of times we think we can just read God's word. Good to go. Stamp the thing. I read it. It's in his word. Must be for me. I'll take it. And then we go on with life. But we go on with life as our life. Not surrendering ourselves to God so that these promises can come about, so that we can allow him to bestow those blessings upon us, for him to take care of us, even when we're sick and going through a tragedy, even for all of those things that, you know, I shouldn't happen to me. I'm a Christian. I'm following you. I sold out to you. God, my God, my Lord, my God, my Lord. But I'm going through a hard time. But that's when you really find out, is he your God? Because when you're in the midst of the storm, if you can cry out to say, my God, I love you. My God, you're there for me. Hallelujah. Anybody can praise him when everything is going well. Truly those that are following him and love him and want to honor him will praise him when things are going south and things are not so good. Am I perfect in that? No. But it's that thing that's in my spirit to know that, Lord, if that happens, I have got to, when somebody spoke here a few weeks, a month or so back, what am I going to default to? Am I going to default to what my thoughts were when I was in the world and get angry and mad and it didn't go my way and this is not fair and I don't know this? Or am I going to default back to what my love was with my Lord and my God and my Jesus that brought me up to this point of time with my relationship with him? And that I want this relationship to grow stronger and stronger and stronger every day until he calls me home. How about you? I don't want to stop right where I'm at with God because there's still too much more of God for me to receive. There's still too much of God that has for me to follow, to have him bless me with it. Hallelujah. But I've got to apply the things that he's put in my spirit. I've got to apply the word that I read. I'm accountable to his word that I read. You are accountable to his word when you read it in scripture. Do you believe that? Too much is given, much is required. It's not to scare you off from getting God's word. It's just to say, listen, folks. This is serious stuff. This is the message. This is direction. This is B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. He's got it all there for us. But we got to apply it. Looking in Proverbs, we have to understand this, that it's not a prosperity book. Oh, or how to succeed in the worldly sense. We got a lot of those out there, don't we? How to succeed, how to prosper. Sad to say, even sometimes in our Christian circles of things out there where we got some people that put, prosperity and things like that. And I don't go into a prosperity message, but I know I am prospered by my God, and he provides. But that's who he is. I don't really need to read a book about it, except the Bible. So it's not a how-to book. It's not how to succeed. It's not how to win one up. It's not how to, you know, come ahead of the other. But it does tell one how to order one's values, which will lead to character. Now, character is important. If you don't have character, what do you have? We can look around the world and see a lot of people, high-profile people. You know, it's always high-profile that get, you know, they get all the attention. But we have to look at it even within our church and even how we present ourselves as Christians, as followers of Christ. Man, what is our character representing? When somebody sees you, do they see you or do they see Christ in you? Does that mean you're perfect? No. Am I perfect? No. But I hope they see a lot more of Jesus in me than Tim in Tim. But it takes work. It takes a sensitivity to that of the Spirit to be sensitive to what he is downloading into you during a situation that you come into contact with, how you handle it, how you address it, what do you do with it. And above all things, to do what? To walk in love and forgiveness. Those are the two stumbling blocks that will pretty well cause everything in God's order for you to cease coming to you. Because you're not walking in love. Because you're not walking in forgiveness. If you cannot forgive, how can I forgive you? God's word says. But as we get back to this, it does tell one how to order one's values, which will lead to character. A character, features that make up and distinguish an individual. Now, we got some characters in here on the other side, too. Let me tell you. That character. I see a lot of characters out here today. And we all love each other. Which leads to wholeness. Wholeness is being what? Complete. Whole. And then that leads to satisfaction. Satisfaction being fulfillment of a need or a want. And many times today we find people, number one, their character is whatever and kind of shady, or their character is not a good one, or whatever the case might be. We find out that, you know, they're missing something. How many times do you talk to people out there and they go, I've got all of this and all this and all this, but I feel like I'm not fulfilled. I feel I'm not fulfilled. And they got a yacht and they got a plane and they got a, you know, all these things. And that just goes to show us it's not in material things that's going to fill that. We were created by that of God. And when we don't have God in us, we've got a void. And in that void, riches do not fill it. Material things do not fill it. Praises from men and people around you and your jobs or your companies, that doesn't fill it. No matter how many awards you get for being a top sales or your top company person or this or that, that doesn't fill that, because that void is there because it's missing the key element of that of God in you. And only God can fill that void with something of himself that you feel what? Fulfilled. And that you feel like, okay, Lord, I got a purpose here. It's got to be more than just hitting the clock at 8 o'clock and clocking out at 5 o'clock and doing the same thing day after day after day. There's something much more that we all have to do. And that's to serve him. That's to be open to him. How wonderful it is when you hear somebody say that I'm satisfied. It's like somebody after they've had a big meal, right? You know, you always got your grandma or your mom or somebody saying, here, eat a little bit more. You know, no, I've had plenty. No, here's, I'm satisfied. Okay. Well, here, I'll send a plate home with you. Okay, good. You know, we want to make sure we're satisfied. God wants to do that too. He wants to sit there and say, I want you to be satisfied, Tim, in this life, where you're at. Even though you're on the other side of heaven, you're down in a place that's pretty crazy, a lot of things going on, I want you to be satisfied. And I go, Lord, I am. I've shared this times back. Birthdays or Christmas comes, Dad, what do you want? Dad, what do you want? Dad, what do you want? I look at him with a dumb look going, I don't need anything else. I'm satisfied. God has blessed me. But no, a lot of times people would come and, what do you want? And I cannot put my hand on it to say, I need this. I want that. I look at life around me. I look at my family, my blessings of children, my daughter and son-in-laws, my grandkids, friends here. And it's like, Lord, it's kind of a corny thing to say. Kind of like, you know, Jimmy Stewart or something like that back in It's a Wonderful Life. But I'm really a rich man for the people that are around me. Are you rich in that? Yeah, amen. You don't realize what people around you put value in you. And that what they have, it kind of comes to you. And what you have, it kind of goes to them. It's kind of like sharing that thing. It's that body of Christ that we're all in this together. And we're here to help and support and to encourage and to laugh and to cry and to stir up the gifts that are in us. Amen. The book of Proverbs will warn us of pitfalls as well as the repercussions of not developing the fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord. It's like, you know, how many times as kids growing up, parents, anybody here, is it just us, say this to our kids when they were misbehaving? That, you know, like the mom would say, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. You're here because of me. So just keep that in mind, okay? You know, that's just a crazy way of looking at it. But my goodness, Lord, hallelujah. But we have to fear the Lord in a reverential fear of knowing that God, the Creator, put this all into place. Wow, we had a snow squall warning, the first one in Wisconsin, 2022. God is still doing things. Not that he did that, but I'm just saying, I look at nature. Thursday night, I wish I would have been out here at church at that time, 5:30 or something like that. But the sunset, beautiful, just orange, red right there, and then off to the sides, it was kind of purplish. I thought, I told Dean, I go, oh man, I wish I was out of church. I'd take a picture of that off of the fields because it's really a good view of that. But the beauty of God, the creation of God, sunrise, sunset, see him in those things. See him in the clouds, see him in the tree, see him in the breeze, see him in the flower, the petals of the flower. Wow, that of God. When you get to that point, you kind of, and it helps me understand that God is everywhere. And God is with you. He's right there beside you. He's there. He's not left you. He's not gone on to say, oh, you're an extremely tough cookie to crack. I'm out of here, you know. He is there with you, you know, through thick and thin, thick and thin. But you should see him in all of your daily activities. But we have to have that fear of the Lord. We find the purpose of Proverbs, and I'm going to read just the four verses of chapter 1. In the New Living Testament, it says, Proverbs 1:1-4, these are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Here it is. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, or self-control, to help them understand the insights of the wise. That's the purpose there. Another purpose. What's the purpose of Proverbs? Well, their purpose is to teach people, to develop their mind, to live disciplined and successful lives. Successful lives are not hung on your job and how high you climb the corporate ladder. That's not that type of success. To live a disciplined and successful life, to help them do what is right, what is just, and what is fair. Well, if anybody is dealing with me, I sure want them to be right, just, and fair when they're dealing with me. How about you? You know? And lastly, these proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. That's what these proverbs are all about. If you got your Bible, feel free to just go into chapter 3. This is kind of like where I got into. Feel free to follow along. As I read through this chapter, I found that wisdom rewards, wisdom guides, wisdom corrects, wisdom helps design, that we find safety in wisdom. Wisdom helps in relationships. So what got me I was reading, and different translations, New King James, and then I got this Passion translation that was given to me over the holidays, and different translations. But in Proverbs 3:21-22, New King James, "My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." Keep sound wisdom and discretion. "So they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck." When I read that, I thought, wow. My son, let these two things not depart from you. Sound wisdom and discretion. And we know if we would do that, it would be a whole lot better for us. Now we're going to look at it a little bit here. New Living says basically the same thing, but it says these words: "My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace." King James, "Keep sound wisdom." New Living, wow, "Have common sense." New King James talks about discretions. New Living says, "Have discernment." And now in the Passion, this is what it said here. I'm just going to read a little bit here. It just says, "Walk in wisdom and to discover your purpose." And we'll look into that a little bit about purpose. That word, through that of Hebrew, it could be as purpose, could be discerning, could be discernment. And so it ties in, as John shared last week, as far as, you know, you begin to look at derivatives and the roots and where these words and how they're used and coming about. But when I read it in the Passion, you know, okay, yeah, keep sound wisdom of the New King James. Okay, New Living, okay, have common sense and, you know, have discernment. Then when I got to the Passion, here it goes back to walk in wisdom and to discover your purpose. To discover your purpose. A lot of times we have a lot of people trying to figure out their purpose. Anybody been there? Still there? We talk to people. "Pastor, I'm just trying to figure out, why does God have me here? Why does God have me in this situation? What am I to do in this or that or whatever the case might be? What am I to do for God?" Aren't most of us here today looking at what am I to do for God? No matter how old you are or how young, and even us oldsters, as we get older, we feel like, hey, I can retire. The world, I retire from the world's things. They say I've worked long enough in longevity. I can retire, you know, have fun, do what I want. As a Christian and as we live through this life, no matter how old we are, a Christian serving God never retires. They just move on to other areas, and they're still looking to serve that purpose that he's put into them. We have got several that have ministered to the facilities that they live at, like Janice, you know, living at that apartment complex. How many people she touches and talks, and those that she knows she can maybe share her faith and all, and she knows there's some that it's best to leave it undone, right? You know, they know where you stand, you know kind of where they're at, and that's okay. The most important thing is people know where you stand with that of your Lord. It's not that you need to change them. Only that of God can change them or kind of get into that spirit of that person and woo them. Talks about the Holy Spirit to woo them. I was wooed by the Holy Spirit. Anybody here wooed by the Holy Spirit to come to that of Christ? Amen. And so we have our mission field. It's everywhere. It's overseas. It's over down there. It's on the native reservations. It's in Rock County. It's in Janesville. It's in your apartment complex. Sometimes it's in your own family. They're the hardest ones, so probably don't even worry about that. Go to somebody else. No. Be led by the Lord, okay? Just be led by the Lord. But purpose, many times. And I feel so sorry when I hear that, because there was probably a point in my life that, you know, we all get to that point in the natural, it's like, why? What am I really here for? Am I making a difference? Am I changing the course of this world? Am I changing the course of this country? Am I adjusting anything here or there? Was anybody hearing my little voice out there? Does my voice have any power to it? And rightfully so, there's not a lot that I can do in the natural. But as I began to serve God and follow Him and read His wisdom and His words and what He's asked for us and His church to do, we find out that we have got a very important purpose. And we all have a different possibility of purposes, but let's kind of look at this real quick. And we each have a purpose. Now we know we were created. And it was, we were created to praise and worship Him. God wants us. He wants to hear His children go, "Hallelujah, Lord! I love You, Lord! I worship You!" He's a jealous God. He wants to hear His kids love Him. What's it do to you when you have a child come up to you that's yours and say, "I love you, Mom and Dad"? Tell you what, that's pretty powerful, but then throw some grandkids in there, and when a little granddaughter or grandson, especially granddaughters, you know, because they're sensitive, grandboys, they're like, you know, bulls in a china shop, but girls, you know, they go, "Love you, Papa." That's why we had kids, so we could have grandkids to have somebody say, "We love you." Yes. Yes, I love it. Praise God. Yeah, but something so simple as that. "Love you, Papa. Want to give you a hug." Have a little granddaughter or grandkids that come up, but they haven't seen you for a while, or even they haven't seen you but for that day, and they'll come running and hug you around the leg. We're blessed. We got one of our sons and daughter-in-laws that live next door until they find that house. So it's kind of a hard time. We've been praying for favor for a house for them, but we just don't know how far to push it. It's like, "Lord, Lord, we want them to have the house because they got another child coming. They need more room. But Lord, Lord, it's so nice to have these granddaughters next door." And we go out in the morning, and Kayla might be taking them to one of them to daycare or something like that, or preschool for a couple of times a week. And they'll look out their door and look over at our side, and if they see me out by the car, they're there and they're. They'll come out of the house, run down the sidewalk, run all the way over, hug my leg, and go back. One of them, in-law suites. We've got that with a couple of kids. We kind of put our thoughts, you know, with Don and Melissa. Then I tried to show them a house that was like, I don't know, 5,000 square feet and, I don't know, like $589,000 or almost, no, it was $1,005,000, I think it was, $1,005,000. I said, "I think there could be a lot of room in here for all of us." But we just can't get the price down. Okay. One day she got out, and one of the little ones, Nolia, I think she's the one that's in the daddy's arms, I heard her crying, and she got her hand caught in the gate or something like that. And she comes up the sidewalk, and I was coming home about that time in the afternoon, and she saw me, and she comes this sidewalk to this side. She's going, "Come to Papa." And I picked her up, and I think, "Kayla, didn't you say something?" She goes, "I'm going to go with Papa." When she got hurt at the gate, "I'm going to go have Papa hug me." And that gets back to and say, "Hey, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Christmas?" I'm blessed. God has blessed us more than I could ever put a dollar amount on. Amen. But not with just grandkids, with a furnace when it's cold. I mean, I can go high emotionally down to the very basics, okay? It's like, I don't have to stay up here and get tears. I can go down here and go live in the real world. Like, thank you, Lord. Every morning or day we come in after outside. Oh, we get home. It's like, we're not going anywhere. We're staying home. Forget it. But it's those blessings of God. So we look at this, and what's our purpose? We each have a purpose. We're created to praise and worship God. He loves it when we honor Him through worship and praise. We've also been given our marching orders, so to speak. Mark will tell this in Mark 16:15. "Go into all the world and preach and share the gospel to every creature." We're to share His word. We're to share this good news that people need to hear. But there is more for us to do with what God has put within us. We're to show His love. John, or I should say, 1 John 4:7-9. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. What's my purpose? To love. To love. To show that love to others. We're told to pray. Pray for leaders. Pray for others. Remember when I said individually by myself, I'm just little old me in this vast sea of humanity and this world and this nation? But when I begin to get into that area of prayer and knowing where I'm at in the kingdom of God and that God has placed me here, there's something within me that changes and goes from, nobody's going to hear my voice, it's just me, Tim. But when we get into that interceding for our nation, interceding for our leaders, interceding for the things of this world, there's something that builds up within you because you begin to realize who you are in Christ, and Christ has put you here for a purpose to pray for those in leadership so that you, if you want a good life, pray for them and he will give you a good life. And praying for others. So look at this. 1 Timothy is where we would go, 2:1-2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore I exhort, therefore I encourage, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in authority, are as a prominent place, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, or in all godliness and reverence could be in dignity. Okay, so my purpose is to show love, not just praise and worship God, and not just go to share the gospel, but I have to show love, and it's a lot to the love to the loveless. Those that are hard to love, oh, where I'm weak, he is strong. And I've had to say many times, Lord, I know I'm supposed to love that or them or this or that. It's hard. It goes against what I feel, because what I feel is still my human flesh and things that I know or to remember or whatever the case might be. But I know if I want to please my God, I've got to change that. And the only way I can change that is say, Lord, I have a hard time doing that love or having that forgiveness. So, Lord, help me because I want to honor you and please you. And so give me that ability. Give me that strength. Help me, Lord. Why? I want to honor you and bring glory to you. How about helping the poor? Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. There, you know, as people are around and the poor, many times back when we had our food pantry here, it was just amazing the amount of people we had contact with for 25 years. And it was helping fulfill their area of food. If it was just once a month, but it was reaching out and helping them. And this ministry of the pantry was blessed for many years, really, very blessed in some ways of giving. And it ran to 25 years, and really we could have still kind of maintained it financially, but we're just running short of staff and the strength and the ability to maintain people that would help, talk to the people, and take the food out to them if they needed to, and it was a great outreach. But here again, sometimes things come, and then it comes to a season, and God says, you've done well. It's okay. But we still want to help. We still, through the giving to the men's shelter, to that of Jackson School, to help with the kids and their clothing. And the blessing of the food that the kids collected for Christmas that we took eventually over to where Janice lives to give to the residents there as food. What a blessing. Very thankful, very thankful. And it was good, and it wasn't like somebody, just two people got it and hoarded it all. I mean, they kind of pick through it and take what they need, and they're very, very nice there. So I don't know where that lends us down the road to do something like that quarterly, just to go out and just do that as a blessing. And I wanted to do it because our sister Janice lives there, and she's a member of the church, and she's so faithful here that she's talking to people there and sharing about the message of God and her faith and her church. And it's so neat to hear, where did this food come from? And not Janice said it, but somebody literally said, it came from Janice's church! And she had come to the pantry. So, connections. To say to God, here am I, use me for your kingdom. Many times, though, we say, I can't do that. I'm not smart enough. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have that ability. It's not me, Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:5. About our ability. It says this, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency or our qualifications, the Amplified would say qualifications, but our sufficiency or / qualifications is from God. It's not from Harvester's Church. It's not from the pastor. It's not from this group or that group. It's not because you gave so much in tithe or whatever you gave to this organization. It is through that of God. I was going, and I will eventually read out of this Passion Translation in that area of chapter 3. And just as a note to this, where I started this whole thing, and I don't know, maybe you are the same way, or God works in all of us differently as he drops his word into us, and kind of what gets us stirred. But when I opened up the Proverbs in this passion, I just started in 21. My child, never drift off course from these two goals for your life. It's easy to drift. You will find that you will begin to drift when you don't have power to maintain going against the wave, going against the wind. If we don't keep our power with that of God as our source of power and our abilities and our strength and our love for him, and even that little simple thing that I started way back with saying, my God, my God, my God. We can all easily drift off course because we've lost the engine. We have lost the power to this vessel. And pretty soon the waves of this world toss me. Might be oh so subtle. It might just be a little bit of breeze. But if I don't have power in the engine, if I don't have some kind of a power going with that propeller to kind of keep me going to where I need to go, it doesn't take much to just drift with the wind or drift with the current. And this world has many currents in it. And what current are you going to be in? It's an amazing. I came down River Road this morning and the wind is blowing so hard this way that the river should be flowing this way, but yet a lot of the waves and things are being pushed this way because of the power of the wind. And so if you look at those real simple things in nature, you will begin to understand spiritually how the enemy likes to come and blow against you for going in this vein or that stream of God. And he'll put little ripples in your river. And after a while you go, oh, this is so difficult. I'm tired of fighting this. Well, the problem is you're fighting it on your own power, not under his. That pretty soon you will just give up, turn your engine off, and the wind's going to blow you this way. Whatever the case might be. But this is these things here. My child, never drift off course from these two goals in your life. And those two goals are this, to walk in wisdom and to discover your purpose. If we can do that in our Christian walk, if you can do that in your secular walk, it'll all be a success, really. But just don't let your secular success and direction overtake that of what God's purpose and direction is for you, because he's ultimately the one that's providing the secular side of your rewards, your secular side of job, career, promotion, substance, provision. That's how God is dropping his blessings upon you. It's through those jobs. It's through those things in the natural. But I can be in the natural and work in the natural section or sect, but my stand is still in the kingdom of God and thanking him for those blessings and being strong to him and listening to him, his wisdom, his guidance. And I want to do what? Never drift off course. Keep wisdom and then your purpose. Discover your purpose or discern Isn't that what one of the words we said? This says, like many Hebrew words, there's various possible translations. The word translated here as purpose can also mean discretion, counsel, meditation, discernment. I'm going to tell you, as we wrap up, and we'll finish, because there's a lot more just in that chapter 3. But if you don't discern things taking place in your life, it'll get the better of you. If you don't have discretion, don't we say that to sometimes? Use your better discretion. Don't you know this is going to end this way? Well, I thought I could do it. That's what everybody else is doing. I thought this would be okay. Discernment, discretion. If we can maintain that level and keep wisdom as well around our neck, look at how you will accomplish the things that God has for you. But here again, we got to get into his word. We got to get into what he is saying. So as I wrap up, I'm going to look at this next week, the rewards of wisdom. The wisdom does correction, the blueprints of wisdom, hiding place of wisdom. Let's see. Well, there's wisdom in relationships, but I got three of these highlighted here. But I want to look at those areas of how wisdom helps us. How many here wants to be wise? Me. I need it, Lord. So I want to read from that and kind of dig in, because it's kind of like the Message type of a Bible. You know, it's kind of like a translation, paraphrase. It's really worded good. They brought in some things of words that makes it sound richer in these areas, or a little bit more understandable of where we're at, and it gives some good footnotes in the bottom as far as where these things are coming from. But I want to read into that in verse 3 a little bit, or chapter 3 a little bit more. So, hallelujah! God is good! God is good. Well, this is great. I get to come back next week. Anyway, just I pray you have a great week, and just that God is always there with you, and speaking into your heart, speaking into your spirit, and that you find good rest when it's time for resting of your body. Amen. Nothing like rest for the body. So thank you, Lord. Lord, we come to the end of a service too soon, Lord. There's just so much that can be shared of your word, and the things that, you know, you prompt us to look at and make notes on our paper, but your word is rich. And I think what that shows us, Lord, is we'll never have enough time to share all of the scriptures, to share what your spirit has spoken into our spirit, Lord. And we just take it and keep going on with it. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, how your scriptures speak into our very own lives. It's like, Lord, going through the week, it's like, this is just for me and nobody else. Your word is so personable to each one of us. And I thank you, Lord, for only a God like you, all-knowing, can accomplish that. So I do pray for the body here at Harvesters Church for health, provision, strength. We pray for our nation. We pray for the things that are going on around this world, Lord, that we would pray for wisdom and guidance into those of leadership, that they would make the proper choices, the right decisions, and that when they don't, that we continue to lift them up in prayer and not give up and not give in, but we continue to honor them by praying for them as your word has told us to do. We thank you for that opportunity as well. And Lord, as we go, be with each and every one here today. I thank you for blessing them as they give, that you provide and take care of them, Lord, and their provisions as well, as we return a portion back to you. And we thank you for this beautiful day. May we see you in it and throughout it. I love you, Lord. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.